house that's moved up on Denison.
Yeah.
At the northeast corner of what's now the soccer field, and that's where the...
What's her name? Hepburn lived.
No, not Hepburn.
No.
It was George working
at the post office.
Working at Old Citizen Bank.
George Washburn.
George Washburn.
Washburn is what I mean to say, isn't it?
Was it? He was not in the post office?
I have that wrong then, in
but
my head.
Do you remember that house?
Yes, and I remember Mrs. Washburn, because Dorothy and
well,
Betty
this,
Dean...
Well, this is way back on there, but this one where Washburn
oh,
is.
No, it was way back on the
yeah.
street.
You lived here in town?
Yeah. You two sound like you do on the recording there.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I can't figure that out then. I don't know how they were still alive, and I knew them. If he fought the Civil War, I'm sure their name was, one was, as I said, Aunt Mae Jennison. She had the Jennison Abstract Title Company up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Laura Cash was Ed Cash's mother. Of course, he's gone. And
he related to Mrs. Jennison through your mother and father?
No, this is all my father's side. Mm-hmm. I know a little more about my mother's side of the family, but this is all my father's side of the family. A little bit back, and there's another one out in California. And she was back here as a physicist one time. And I took her out, and my sister was still alive, and I took her out to the Blue Wall Study because E. Stanley Simpson, the fellow that, which I think would be my great uncle, he was a friend to General Lew Wallace, and they had what they called a Kingfisher's Club up on the Kankakee River.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'd go up there. I took a picture down there. I think it's down at the library there that it showed my uncle there and Lew Wallace. But
you know, I have a picture that hang in your parlor of the boat, the river boat that belonged to Lew Wallace.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was hanging in the household. I left it, so I took it home and told Stanley I had it.
Why was it in the Simpson house?
Well, because his uncle was a good friend of Lew Wallace.
Oh, Wallace.
And he went up there fishing with Lew Wallace.
Oh, yeah. On the Kankakee River?
Mm-hmm.
I declare.
Well, that was a popular place to go fishing.
Was it?
Mm-hmm. Of course, I don't remember him, but I do remember Aunt May and Aunt Laura. Mm-hmm. And how they could have been there. If he fought the Civil War, and how they would still been alive. Somebody that would be pretty old.
Some people were.
Did you cross the Kankakee River as you go up there?
Yeah, it's still up there.
I mean,
I don't.
You don't remember?
No, I don't.
When you go across the river, trying to go to Chicago.
Oh, I take it back. I do too know where it is.
I used to cross it up there. I was going up there to see Herbert Wrigley.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see it? Can you make it out of the corner of your eye?
That's the old mill school.
Oh yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah,
you see that?
All the kids down there went to middle school, which is right across to there's a big school right there on above you, if you go ahead and tell me if you want to, right on Main Street there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I remember there's some kids named Taubes, German kids lived on the corner, northeast corner, southeast corner of Simpson. And
how could I forget them? They were tough nuts.
Oh, that was the story I was leading up to. Mrs. Witters was the principal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went down, we was going out to play, and this kid jumped on my back, and I turned around, hit him in the nose, and bloodied his nose, and she set me up to the office with her for office up there, and I could see that panel, great big panel, I think it had holes in it, sitting over there in the corner. I sat there for a while, and Mrs. Yount, in my home room, she came in, got me, took me away, and I didn't get a paddling, but they fight amongst themselves, their dad, the doctor, at my wife down at all in Simpson Street, could they?
What was their name?
Taut, German.
How was it spelled?
I think T-O-U-T.
Okay.
Where did their father work?
That I don't know.
I remember she was kind of a short woman, red hair.
Yeah, I can't remember that.
Coming back.
I think about the people down there at the first job I had. Doc, you don't know any of these people, of course, Fred will, but then.
Right.
Was Mark Smith, lived on the corner of the southeast corner.
Uncle Mark Smith.
Yeah.
No, no.
And that was the first job I had. He turned wander off, and I think she gave me a dime or something like that to follow him, see where he went, and bring him back, or whatever it was. But,
what did you do for Uncle Mark Smith?
What?
What did you do about
that? Well, he started wandering off. I remember one time he was going around Pike Street or whatever someplace.
Oh, really?
And I'd go around and see, sort of follow him around, see where he went, and they could bring him back. She's a great big portly lady.
His wife, you mean? Grandma Smith?
Yeah.
You're talking about Grandma Smith?
Yeah.
Where did they live?
On the corner, the southeast corner of Maine and Winchester there.
Yeah.
Well, one time I was out in our front yard and I was trying to lift a flower pot of some kind, and I saw Grandma Smith walking out very slowly, and she was coming over to see me. But when she got over there, she said, "Brother, you will break your back doing that." And I was up
by
that time. And then she went home.
Yeah, she did.
That was all the message?
That was the main message, and I shouldn't be doing that.
She didn't have a phone, and we was forced to have a phone. She'd come over and sit down on the porch there and have us call somebody for her.
Oh.
In later years, Stanley, we had the back and forth bus.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it was a streetcar. She'd get on, I guess she got on the bus, and she'd ride to the end of Main Street, and
we called it the Yellow Peril, or back and forth empty, we used to call it.
She'd get in there and ride clear to the east of Wabash Avenue.
Yeah, went out there to take the railroad.
For a nickel.
Just for the ride?
Yeah, amusement.
Right.
I had a friend who used to get on there and ride a doctor. He'd ride back and forth, he wasn't worth much anything. His name was Dan.
I'm talking about the school here. You remember Elizabeth Winters?
Yeah, right.
And you thought she was going to give you a paddling?
Yeah. She's a very nice looking lady. She was a sort of portly, like a mannish dress woman.
Mannish dress.
Yeah.
Now, while we're talking about Mrs. Winters and Miss Winters, I believe she's in this picture. You wouldn't be able to see this except it's off the front of the Journal Review.
Oh, in 1920.
I delivered papers and my pictures down there in the front of that.
In the front row?
And you'll see it. I don't believe you were in that picture.
Well, I don't think.
Which one are you, Bud? Right there. You were well dressed, even as a lad.
Big shot.
Stanley?
There's a picture.
That's pretty brown. Can you make that?
The Journal carriers out in front of the Carlsville Journal building.
No, I
don't know where that's left.
I can't tell which is which. Yeah. I don't think. Was Martha in that picture?
No, she wasn't in that
picture. I don't think. I was in there.
We have a picture of you and Martha out in front of Smith's house on the corner, and I couldn't find it.
Oh.
While we were talking about, you remember Ada Fraley?
Yeah.
She was later the principal of the school. she was a good person.
Bud had an older sister, Doc, his name was Martha. And it, I remember she and I were playing out there, and Bud's back in his back someplace out on the back of the yard someplace. We were playing out there in the street next to the, between the street and the sidewalk there. Mm-hmm. And they brought Charles in and went from the hospital. And we hopped up, took a look at him, just saw a little baby there, went back playing again. We didn't pay much attention to it.
Another baby.
Yeah, right. And Bud's mother was a rather small, smiley looking lady, and she brought stuff over when the mother was ill, and she brought some food over for us to eat. And Dad was sitting on the corner of the cabinet there, and I was sitting on the table, and she'd get picked out to him. She said, "Here, something to eat." He was some kind of a vegetable, lettuce and stuff like that. Yeah. Oh, he said, "I don't want to eat that thing, rabbit food." And she said, "Well, you wouldn't eat it if you knew it was good for you." She was quite a lady. She always usually had a good humor. And his dad, Davy, was I sat there thinking, we didn't have air conditioning back in those days, and then he'd come out, he'd smoke a cigar, and he'd come out on Groves' back porch there, and I had the windows open, and wind, that cigar smoke come wafting in there, smelled sort of good off it. Yeah. He was a singer, he'd be singing over there. I never knew why Bud and Charles didn't continue singing.
Did you sing, Bud, when you were young?
Charles sang in the
middle. Yeah, he sang some, mm-hmm.
I sang in school. But.
Mm-hmm. But not just to be singing.
My mother was a locutionist.
I remember you were saying that. She went up to Chautauqua at Renwick.
Yeah, she got there for a week, and same time as William Jennings Bryan was on the program.
Really?
And the report was that there were 5,000 people there. I didn't believe it.
Was there room for 5,000?
It was a pretty good auditorium. But,
She recited a poem, and the goblins will get you if you don't watch out. I remember reciting that poem. She was a, what do you call it, elocutionist or something? Or,
mm-hmm. And she had one piece called "That Old Sweetheart of Mine," and she had Bill Simpson, who played the violin, his father, would have the musical company.
In the background?
Big sunbonnet and a little checkered dress she wore when I first kissed her and answered it for us.
And he played the music in the background?
Yeah, he played in the background.
Yeah, lovely.
Do you remember that song?
No, I don't remember her. I don't remember that incident, but I remember that playing the guitar.
Stanley, how did your dad learn to play the violin?
I have no idea, Doc. That's just like my youngest sister learned to play the piano. I think she only took one or two lessons.
You mean Doris?
Yeah.
I didn't know she played.
Yeah, she played the piano, sat in there in the front room there.
How'd you play it?
How they were, I suppose they just learned by trying to get this. Mm-hmm. Of course, the oldest sister, Kate, she was the most intelligent. She went to Oberlin College over there and got ill, had to come home.
Mm-hmm.
But she was a singer.
Had she taken singing lessons, or did she just have a good voice?
I don't remember whether she took any lessons or not. Which we all sang at Trinity Choir. She sang at Trinity Choir. I think she quit singing. She died, I guess, when I started singing over there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I belong to Trinity Church down there. If I make it to, it's been 84 years. I joined when I was 9 years old. I've been 9 the next birthday, and that was 1915, so.
You didn't begin in the cradle role.
Yeah, I was.
I'm surprised.
I heard talking about churches on the radio here while I was over. Well, the only way we went to Trinity Church, because it was handy there. Right. And Mom sent us to Trinity Church, that's what we did.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and my youngest sister, Doris, I want to say, she went up to the Presbyterian Church, because we had a, she had an aunt up there that went there, I guess she liked, so she went up there.
Who was that? Was that Mrs. Jennison?
No, it was, oh, I can't think of her name, it was his friend of, he's a friend of,
I don't know why she...
Of somebody, Doris went up there, to, but I can't think, of what, it wasn't the, but it was the, whether it was the aunt on my mother's side or who it was, I don't remember. But
while we're talking about Simpson Street, here's a picture of Aunt Hattie Purcell.
With
Hattie? Yeah, we call her Aunt Hattie. I don't know what she called her.
Was she a courtesy aunt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She lived on the corner of Simpson and Maine, right next door to us.
Okay.
And that Stanley's family lived on the west side of Simpson. The second house north of us.
Right.
And so Aunt Hattie, people lived on the corner, and he didn't see it, but here's
Aunt Hattie.
Hattie was a good name.
Had a big hat on,
Hattie. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, she was.
That was the bird on Aunt Hattie's hat.
Uh-huh. She was, her name was Harriet. She always was Harriet. Yeah, Mary Lee, and this was her father, who was a, you remember, I just wondering if you ever remember her father, who had the blacksmith shop over on Market Street, right east of the grocery, or west of the grocery. And I have a picture of him here, but it doesn't look like he has work clothes on it. It looks like he has a dress-up clothes.
Yeah. But a hammer in his hand.
Well, no, I referred to him as Grandpa Purcell.
Who is it?
That's and Grandpa Purcell.
Oh.
Hattie's father.
Yeah.
Hattie's father-in-law?
I don't remember him.
Hattie's father-in-law?
No, her father.
Her father. Oh, Hattie was not married.
No.
No, she worked up past the, what, the trust company, or she worked for one of those financial institutions, didn't she?
Officeville Trust Company.
Hmm.
They said that I used to go up to meet him coming back from the shop. And he picked me up and sent me home like a flower.
Is that right?
Because this was a dressing suit here.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had moved in here from, he had a blacksmith shop out in Yentzville.
Mm-hmm.
And his youngest daughter, no, his youngest daughter, his oldest daughter, we called her Aunt Mamie. You remember Aunt Mamie, don't you, Stanley? Maine, Hurst, Maine Bratton.
Yeah.
And had a sister. They lived in Yentzville, and he applied it straight out there, but for some reason they moved
to moved into town.
Mm-hmm.
Did people who lived in Yentzville feel as if they lived in a real community?
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't just a suburb of Crawfordsville. It was a town itself.
It was 4 miles.
Yeah, the town itself.
It was a village, I guess.
You talk about, you know, back there on the west part of town again, there was a dump. Bert Davis, Thomas and Davis grocery was down there. Went right there, you know, where Crawford is now and not.
Oh.
And so we had to, all the kids wanted to drive the truck down there to, on the Thomas and Davis livery truck, and
right.
So then Thomas went up to Bert. Bert died to quit or something, and went up there on next corner east there, and on the Vance, and mm-hmm. Well, there's a store there now. What is now? And the circus would cut it down, go down to Brown's pasture, mm-hmm. And. They'd bring the elephants down there, down Market Street, they'd unload them up on the Bowman, I guess, and bring them down there. And we were sitting there one night, when we'd watch them. Well, first we'd sit on Baker's Corner, J.D. Baker's Corner, and watch them go by.
Yeah.
And then when they were coming back at night, we were sitting down there and on this grocery store then, and the dog ran out, and they had some baby elephants. And that, and they started trumpeting, you know, and the handlers, they like tailed them up there, but man, we all got off that front porch and went to the back end of that porch. They're going to stampede.
Where did that happen? Up at Grant Street?
Yeah.
That was another grocery store. See, that's how close they were.
They were, weren't they? Mm-hmm. Where was the closest grocery to you?
On in the 600 block of West Market.
West Market, yeah.
700 block.
Stanley, remind me of Daddy Baker.
Well, he was sort of a character. And I was thinking today, when I was thinking about you coming out here, she predicted back in those days that we'd have trouble with communists.
Oh, is that right?
Henrietta was her name. His name was J.D. Baker. And I drove a horse. He had a Klondike, what they call a Klondike.
Yeah.
And it had sliding doors on it. And so he sold Singer sewing machines. And out there on Mill Street, I think about that the other day, I'd watch the horse while he was in there trying to make a sale. Andy, that was a horse. No, that was our horse. And Andy, can't think what his horse was.
His horse was a bay.
He got the train come along there, and he got scared. And I thought he was going to run away, and I got this Klondike door open, and he jumped, and I fell out and run over my ankle. Mr. Baker came out, and he said he just run a little bit and stopped, and that's what he did, but I wasn't taking any chances.
Who knows? Did the Klondike have a glass enclosed front?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and it had these sliding doors on there. And they get back to Mill School down there, where Aunt Hattie lived there in the corner, and there's a little canopy between the house and the shed next door, or back of it there.
Oh.
And the kids over in the back of Mill School, they got the teeter totters up there. They was under there. We had a rock flat right across Main Street there. We did between the other. The two houses there, we used to get a lot of fights, but it was always either fist or rocks.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like they do now with the
no guns?
No guns, no, we didn't.
What set the fights off? You must have been kind of scrappy.
Well, I don't know, I think about that. You know, I think about that, that I got the fight till I got up into the junior high in 7th and 8th grade. That's it. Some reason, I don't know why, but I guess the father's back. I had a little more sense than maybe or something, but found out I couldn't whip anybody, maybe that was it.
That was Pappy Baker. The only thing I knew was Pappy
Baker. Pappy
what
Baker.
Was his first name?
Doug.
What?
Doug.
Doug Griffin?
Yeah.
Oh, Doug. Doug Baker?
Yeah, I think that was it.
You called him J.D. a while ago.
Yeah.
Well, here's a little different picture. These are four boys, about 10 or 12 years old. It's a photograph.
Oh.
And Mrs. Gailey lived two doors north of Stanley. And she had a son.
Yeah, I think
his father's name was Will, and hers were Nell.
I couldn't tell. Was that me on the end there?
Yeah, on the right.
Yeah.
And that's Stanley's there, and I'm there, and Esther and James lived across the street.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's
Jack Gailey was just one. And he took us over, Mrs. Gailey took us over to campus, because there was a WCTU, installation or they're doing World War I.
Okay.
And it was built for the president's chapel there. And that was built as a temporary housing. And this is where this picture was taken. Do you remember that, Stanley?
I didn't hear what you said, but
Mrs. Gailey took us over there. This is a picture. She took us up.
No, I remember the picture, but I don't remember who took it. But that was sort of another funny incident there that Bob Hunt Walter Hunt and George had lived right across the alley from me there, and the neighbors used to have dinners in the neighborhood there at these different houses. And so when the Gaileys about, they were a little parsimonious, I guess, and they had beans for dinner, and they just didn't have too much to eat. So Walter Hunt, when the Hunt started to have the dinner, well, they had bean soup, but they just put one or two beans in the soup just to make fun of them. That Walter, he was something else. He was the one I told you that tied the horses. We had an old horse called Andy, and he'd go back to the barn there, and right there's this hitching post right there on the Hunt side, and Walter, he slipped out, tied the back wheel of the buckboard that Dad was driving, and wired on that, and Dad got there, "Get up, Andy," and Andy's trying to go, and he couldn't get anybody. And and then Walter, of course, sat there laughing, and he was quite a jokester. Bob reminds me of a little way look. He'd go down the street, he'd go, you tell me he had some kind of story, you don't tell him.
He began to nod his head.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah.
And his wife, you know, died.
Yes, right.
We went to the funeral at 10:30.
Did you this morning?
Right.
I had no idea that Cora was 87. I wouldn't have thought she was that old. Yeah. And she had been a nurse at Culberman.
Oh, yeah. She was a nurse at the Presbyterian Hospital. And then for some reason or other, she got down here. Somebody was up there knew about Crawfordsville. Oh. That's how she happened to come to Crawfordsville.
Is that right? Where was the Presbyterian Hospital?
Yeah. Well, this is where it is now. About kind of west, northwest of Duluth.
Oh, in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Sure thing. Huh.
Well, that was...
Did Walter Hunt smoke cigars?
I don't remember, but I do remember one New Year's Eve that I went out in the back porch there, and he and Mrs. Hunt had their bedrooms up the northwest, southwest corner upstairs there. And I took the shotgun out there, and I shot my shotgun off. But directly that wind of rage, and he went loose with a revolver, sound like cops in army, off the bang, 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 out
there. I've never heard of
that before. You did. But he was quite a prankster.
He's very quiet. He didn't talk.
Yeah.
Is that right?
He just talked. Well, you're right. He wasn't very loud talker.
And his wife was much different. Georgia Hunt, she remember when I had the croup one time, Mrs. Hunt came down, and I don't know what she did, something in my throat. Helped me get over the cough.
Is it?
You remember you had the diphtheria there, Bud, and they had you quarantined?
Yeah, I
remember. And I stood there on one side and talked to him, but didn't get too close.
How could you tell that the house was quarantined?
And put a sign up there. If they had a white sign up there, that I remember it was on the south side of the door there, I think.
Yeah.
By the way, we had to move out.
Right.
My father moved out. Yeah. He continued to go to work. Yeah. If he was down at Mrs. Carver's, where he had a room, she was on a block east on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
He'd come back and look in the window, and he kind of believe that was communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were in for about 2 weeks or more. Mm-hmm. My sister had it, there.
Oh.
And so then we had to fill the gate when we moved out.
Did you?
And we moved over to Merrill's house, and we ate down at the house west of Mills School to try our meals, and then we went back home, and they took all the clothes had to be pulled out of the drawers and fumigated.
Right.
And so then we went back and started living then. One night, I looked at my chest, and I ran downstairs, and I said, I've got this. The scarlet fever was one. I believe scarlet fever, wasn't it?
Oh.
Well, anyway, we had to go back and...
into quarantine.
Oh, gee. And do the whole thing over.
Mm-hmm.
Who were those people who took you in and who gave you meals? Were they just family friends?
Well, I guess the people that lived over west, almost in the schoolhouse, we probably paid them.
Paid them.
But we went in, we slept over at Merrill's, and that was a bad Merrill's, and since the second house east of Mill School, and they didn't charge it, and I know, we were friends.
Yeah.
I think Basil Merrill, he lived right down at the end of Simpson Street there, on Main Street, didn't he?
That's right.
And then Ryder Freeman married his daughter.